I got it.
Got it.
Yeah. Good morning.
Good morning.
Our first reading this morning is our church's mission statement, which was adopted at the September 2012 cabinet meeting. Embraced by the healing love of Jesus Christ and inspired by his teachings, we commit ourselves to prayerful, compassionate, and courageous action in the world. And our second reading comes to us from the letter of James, chapter 2, verses 14 to 17. And in this passage, James argues that faith without action is dead. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith but do not have works? Can faith save you? If a brother or sister is naked and lacks daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm, and eat your fill, and yet you do not supply their bodily needs, what is the good of that? So faith by itself, if it has no works, is dead. May God bless this reading and hearing.
This morning we continue with a third of our four-part sermon series titled Embraced, which comes from the first word of our church's mission statement. And over a couple of weeks we have been using our mission statement to ask questions about our identity, to reflect on our identity, about who we are as Sherlock Congregational Church, about what God is calling us to do and be, and about what the cross and the empty tomb of Easter have to do with us here at this church. I think it's good from time to time to think about our mission statement, to reflect on these questions of identity, but I think it's particularly good at this time in the life of the church. First of all, it's the season of Lent, and so this is a time to do some soul searching, some growing, some asking some challenging questions and deepening our spiritual journeys. But also in the life of this congregation and coming off of a very energizing annual meeting last week, it's true that we're daring to risk asking some big questions around here. Big questions about getting a replacement organ. Big questions about some renovations to the vestry and to the sanctuary, and related missions and program changes and expansion. And so as we think about these big questions, and in this season of Lent, it makes perfect sense to me that we take some time to think about who we are, to reflect on our mission statement, so that we can make the most faithful decisions as we go forward for the life of this church. Over the first two parts of this sermon series, we looked at the first two parts of the mission statement, so embraced by the healing love of Jesus Christ and inspired by his teachings. And just very briefly, I'll tell you that what I said the last couple of weeks, that we begin here at the Sherlock Congregational Church not as being those who embrace others. Our starting place is by those who are embraced by Jesus Christ, and we are inspired by his teachings, which I mentioned Jesus himself summarized in the challenging statement, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." Which I summarized as saying that what that means is that in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, God's reign of peace and justice had broken into the world. And as it breaks into the world, we are called to be transformed, changed from the inside out. And knowing that that's hard and sometimes nearly impossible, Christ's breaking into the world also makes that change for us as individuals and for our whole world, that change becomes possible, which is inspiring stuff indeed. So this week we continue with most of the rest of our mission statement. We commit ourselves to PCC, prayerful, compassionate, and courageous action. It is my hope as we continue to reflect on this mission statement and ask these questions of identity that we will prepare ourselves for Easter morning and for our ministry that will flow outward from the empty tomb. Let's pray. Loving God, give us time and space this morning. Give us vista. Give us eyes to see and ears to hear. Give us your word and nothing less. Amen. So up to this point, our mission statement has kept us in passive mode, right? We're the ones who are embraced by Jesus. We're the ones who are inspired by his teachings. But as we notice in our mission statement, it doesn't leave us in the passive mode, but it moves us this week into active mode as it declares for us that because we are embraced, because we are inspired, that enables us, equips us, makes it possible for us to be those who commit to prayerful, compassionate, and courageous action. So I'm going to break down each one of these words piece by piece. First of all, this word commit. That's kind of a serious word, right? I mean, to commit doesn't mean that we just stick a toe in the water and if we don't like it, we back off. It doesn't mean that when times get tough, we turn tail and run, does it? But to be committed to something means that we make an irrevocable promise to do what we said we were going to do, to complete what we started, whether or not that work is difficult or not. So to be committed. As the old story goes, one day a pig and a chicken were walking downtown and they came across a community breakfast. So pig and chicken were both community-minded, so they wanted to support the breakfast. And so the pig said, hey, let's contribute something to the effort. Great, said the chicken. Let's give ham and eggs. whoa, said the pig. With the eggs, man, you're contributing something. But for me, the ham, I'm fully committed at that point. Let's go with something else. It's an old and silly story, and it illuminates for us the seriousness of commitment, right? That when we commit something, we jump all the way in. And as we jump all the way in, there's a risk. We become vulnerable. There's a chance that it'll cost us something, maybe even cost us everything. Which, if you think about it, is a big part of our Christian story, right? This is what Jesus models for us in his life and death. Jesus didn't just contribute to the life of the world, he committed to it. He loved us enough and he loved God enough that he was willing to commit everything he had and everything he was for our life and for the life of everyone. So, it makes sense that as followers of the committed one, that we are committed to. But what are we committed to exactly? Committed to an idea, a belief, a set of doctrines, a building that we love? Are we committed to a particular hymnal? Like, what are we committed to? And I love our mission statement that it reminds us that we are committed to action, activity, praxis, to doing concrete and tangible things with our hands and with our resources. We are committed to action. Now, oftentimes, we churchy people get criticized for being so heavenly minded that we're no earthly good. And in the news lately, there's been a lot of criticism of our politicians who, using religious rhetoric in the face of never-ending gun violence, right, have been offering us their thoughts and prayers while stopping short of actual legislative action that could reduce gun violence. So don't get me wrong, there's nothing wrong with thoughts and prayers, but the criticism here is thoughts and prayers that don't also translate into concrete actions that save people and help people. And we in the church, I think, we forget the ancient words of James that Jensa just read for us, that faith without works is dead. So we at the Sherlock Congregational Church, we push back against thoughts and prayers without action. We push back against being so heavenly minded that we're no earthly good, right? We push back against faith without works. And we say that we commit ourselves to action. Now, If you look at the inside top of your bulletin at the words for contemplation there, you'll see a quote from Ernest Hemingway, which I love. I think he says, never mistake motion for action, right? So what we are committing to at the Sherlock Congregational Church is not just action for the sake of action, not just for doing any old thing, right? But we're committing to a particular kind of Christ-like action that is summarized in prayerful, compassionate, and courageous. So what is prayerful action? Prayer can be kind of abstract and, you know, a little intimidating and awkward for people. You know, what is prayer exactly? But for me, prayer is just talking to God, right? Just having a conversation, giving your life to God. And as with any relationship, the more we talk with one another, the more we get to know one another, for good or for bad. So when we talk to God through prayer in the life of this church or in your own life or whatever prayer circles you have, God gets to know us better, but also we get to know God better and to know better what God wants and calls us to do. So prayerful action, in my thinking, is action that comes out of a deep, intimate, and prayerful conversation with our God. Second, what is compassionate action? The Latin word compassio means suffering with. So having compassion for something or someone means that we are willing to suffer with the suffering. So the point is not that we are happy only when it rains, not that we love misery and pain and suffering, right? Not that we're going around self-flagellating all the time. But compassion is an acknowledgement that we know that everyone all the time is suffering in one way or another. That all of us are subject to the muck of life. And we are willing to risk jumping into the muck that we might help one another and be helped by others. So compassionate action is the kind of action that suffers with God's suffering people. One of the greatest examples that I can think of compassionate action in the life of this church, I experienced this past week. Virginia and Bernice and Marie took me to meet our refugee family, the Elmi Abdi family. And I had seen them in pictures and heard a lot about them, but was able to go and meet them. And just realize, you know, how difficult it is to be a refugee, learning to be a newcomer and a new American. And so every single day, the refugee team of this church connects with them. And it's not easy work. It is a great example of them suffering with God's suffering people in a way that brings life to a family. It is a wonderful example for us to follow. Okay, lastly, what is courageous action? Courageous action, I think this is pretty straightforward. Courageous action is the kind of action that we do not because it's easy or popular, but courageous action is the kind of action that we do because it's needed, because it's faithful, and because it's godly. And as the prophets in our Bible teach us, that whenever you speak out against things that are faithful and needed and godly, most often, most of the time, most people reject it. Godly things and the things that bring peace and justice, there's so much resistance and anger and vitriol. These are the things that bring conflict. These are the things that bring vitriol. Just try to talk to someone these days about the state of the question of gun violence. Sorry to bring that up again, but it's so much in a part of our culture right now, and we're unable to talk about it. So courageous action is churches just like this, teaming up with the Episcopal Diocese, working with our youth, going down to Montpelier, being willing to risk entering into conversations, acting in ways that are right and godly and needed, and we know will likely bring division and conflict. So welcome to the class of what it means to follow Jesus Christ. Okay, so putting this all together then, what does our mission statement declare up to this point? I think it says this, at least it does to me. that because we are embraced by Christ's love and inspired by his teachings, that makes us possible to commit to action. And not just any kind of action, but the kind of action that's connected prayerfully to God, that's willing to suffer with God's suffering people, and that's willing to do hard things because they're right and needed and godly. Whew. Okay. So we'll leave things there for now. Next week we will continue with the fourth and final part of this series, where we will look at just the final three words of our statement, which are a statement of the very ambitious scope of our mission. We commit to PCC action in the world. I hope you join us next week. Bring a friend in Christ's name and for the life of the whole world. Amen.